Romans 13 and beginning with verse number 11. Scripture had said in verse 8 to owe no man anything but love. Or to love one another. Love fulfills the law of God. He lists the commandments and then says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, do you know what time it is? It's 11:18 according to our clock back there, and it works off satellites. But do you know what time it is in your life? Do you know how many days you got left? How many years? The scripture teaches us that we should number our days to be prepared, to know how to live, to always be aware of the Lord's coming, always be aware that our time is limited. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father, bless the message today, I pray. Help us all to be aware of the many things we need to do while we have the opportunity. You have saved us by your grace. You have given us the Spirit of God to dwell within us. You have preparing for us a home in heaven. And so help us to be busy about your business until that day comes that you call us home. Help us to be ever aware of what we need to do for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've almost finished 2024. At the end of every year, I'm reminded of Jeremiah's passage in chapter 8 that says, "A summer has come and gone, and we are still not saved." He's using that word saved in the reference of deliverance. And it applies to all of us. Another year has come and gone, and the Lord has not yet delivered us from this present evil world in which we live. But he has promised that he will do that. And his promise is sure. Most of us have things we plan to do this year or hope to do, and we didn't get them done. Some people have a bucket list. Hollywood came up with that and made a movie about it, a bucket list, getting things done before you die. And it was a good reminder to everyone. Have you got a bucket list? You got some things you want to do before you pass away? Well, don't wait too long. I promised my wife we'd go on cruises. I promised my wife I'd retire and we'd do a lot of things. Now I don't have the health to do it if we get the opportunity. So don't wait too long. We follow the Lord and his word, we can be successful even if we don't accomplish everything that we hope to do. Serving the Lord is success in itself. Knowing Christ is your Savior and living for the Lord and being a witness to other people, telling people about how good God is a job that we all have. John Maxwell wrote books on leadership. He was a pastor at one time, and then he became famous by seminars on leadership. He said many fail to be leaders because they simply don't know what they don't know. If you think on that for a moment, it makes good sense. That many people never succeed because they don't really know what it is they need to know, what it is they don't know. If they knew what it was, they could get educated, they could get a course, they could read a book, they could get tools, they could probably do what it is they'd like to do, but they don't know what they don't know. Learn by our mistakes is vital. Christians should be teachable, should be learners as disciples of Christ. That is a primary requirement of us to be learners, to be teachable, to learn the things of God. Knowing what you didn't know is a step forward in study. Edison made many inventions, but he attempted thousands of things that never succeeded, and he refused to be disqualified by them. He simply told people that's another way that it doesn't work, so we find another way to try. And he kept going and kept doing until he succeeded. When I was a child, it was one of my favorite things to say, I wish I was rich. I wish we were like these other neighbors we had. When I say neighbors, we lived in the country. It was a long way off, mile away, you know, as a neighbor. They had wealth. They had a nicer home. They had a nicer automobile. They had material things. And I was envious of that coming from a poor home. My mother would always say, when I said I wish, my mother would say, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. That stuck in my head when my mom said that probably 100 times to me. It's not wishing that gets things done. It's learning and trying and working and enduring in the process to get it done. A Christian must be a good student, must be a learner. If you're going to lead tomorrow, you need to prepare today. Technical schools are a gold mine for people to go to school for 2 years and learn a trade like a plumber, an electrician, motor mechanics of all kinds, and welding and things of that nature. I went to tech school on Saturdays. They had a class on Saturday just to learn how to weld. I already knew how to weld, but I didn't know how to get certified as a welder, so I went to that class on Saturdays, and I would practice what you have to do to take a test. And in a relatively short time to be a certified welder, I accomplished that goal in a much shorter time than many men did because of going to that school on Saturdays and then working in a job where I was welding, building trailers. And just burning rods teaches you much about welding. And then I went up to the nuclear plant at McGuire and took the test up there, and I passed the test. And it was an X-ray test of 8-inch pipe that you had to fill in completely, and then it had to be X-rayed. And I was accomplishing in that. And it took study, it took reading, it took practice, it took enduring through the process. For all of the earlier part of my life, I worked a full-time job and went to school full-time. I did that with construction at McGuire. I'd come home from McGuire, go to home to my wife in Oak Ridge area of Rock Hill, grab a bite to eat, run out to York Technical School, stay till 11 o'clock at night, come home, sleep, and go back to McGuire Nuclear Plant the next morning. I was young. I had more stamina than I have now, and I could endure some of those things. So when I went to Bible college, I wasn't worried about it, because I knew I could work and go to school too and supply what my family had need of. But it took some time to get to that point. Christians need to be ready when opportunity comes our way. So we need to be educated. We need to be trained. We need to be aware that our time is limited to get things done. We need to be a person of action. You start by reading and studying. You endure in the process. You set goals to accomplish, and you set goals that are accomplishable so you don't get discouraged. Parents, that's a great reminder. As you set goals for your children to do things, don't set the goals so far out and so far away they can't accomplish it. Set goals they can accomplish, and when they are rewarded for their accomplishment, they will want to endure again to do that, to move up farther. Develop your abilities and knowledge. Leadership gurus write, after studying 90 top leaders in the United States, the relationship between growth and leadership is the capacity to develop and improve their own skills that distinguish them from those who follow them. A learning process takes self-discipline. Invest in education. I had a professor in college that said, buy books. Skip lunch. Use the money. Buy books. And so that's exactly what I did. I bought books. I found Scripture Truth Book Company in Fincastle, Virginia, publishes a big long list of Christian books on both sides, and they are cheaper than any bookstore you can possibly go to. And so if you go by my office, many people admire the library I have in my office. They don't admire how messy my desk is and how many books are laying all over the place. But they admire the bookcases, and they say, have you read all these books? And I can then honestly say, yes, I've read every one of them. Most of them I've read two or three times in 45 years because they are reference books that I use when I'm studying to prepare sermons. Most of you know I preach through the book of Revelation verse by verse about four times over the time I've been here for 45 years. Once as Sunday school, created lessons. Once in preaching, and then in preaching again. Over the years, I've accumulated about 11 commentaries on the book of Revelation. And when I prepare a message on Revelation, I don't go back and look through my file to find a sermon. I get all those 11 books, and I read my Bible first. And I have some knowledge of a lot of that. But I go to those books and remind myself to see if I'm right in what my thoughts are in preparing to preach and teach on that to reveal what's in it. Leadership takes self-discipline. It takes investing in your education. In your walk with God, remember what God said to Joshua back in chapter 1 of Joshua and verse 8 and 9. Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9. Speaking of the Bible, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Reading the Word of God, knowing the Bible, can give you great success. Invest in the tools that it takes to better yourself and to do the work that you want to do. Books instead of video games, boys and girls. Instead of staying stuck on your phone playing games, read a book and learn something about a craft or a trade or knowledge. The people that are in this age that we live in right now that have the best profession and make the most money with the least amount of effort are computer programmers. Many of them can work from home and they can make a really decent living and invest their time in something that pays off. And it won't always be that way. That will continue to change. The books and the levels of how it's done will change. And you've got to keep studying and keep up with that change. What have you learned in your lifetime about God's Word? Have you studied and searched for answers from the Bible? Do you know what it is in the Bible that you don't know? It is easy to find the answers. Pursuit of becoming a spiritual person is something that all of us should have. Help me, Lord, to be the spiritual man that you desire me to be. It means you're going to have to leave some things behind. It means you're going to have to run the race and follow the Lord Jesus And that's up the hills and the valleys and over the logs and the creeks. It's a cross-country race that we're in. God has a higher purpose for you in your future than even you have for yourself. I can imagine David must have sat underneath the night sky with the sheep and wondered to God, why did you allow that lion to come upon the sheep and I had to kill that lion? And I thank you that you preserved my life. And then the same thing with a bear. David realized that God had saved him and prepared him. But he did not know until he stood alone before the giant Goliath that God had allowed him to go through those things to prepare him for what he was going to face in the future. God was preparing a king. God was preparing a man of God that would write the Psalms, that would lead Israel and still be remembered as their greatest king. He faced hardships because of Saul. He did not usurp Saul's authority and take over his rule over Israel. He waited until God put him in that position. And he went through many hardships in the wilderness with his 400 men. They fought the battles for Israel against Israel's enemies. And through that, he learned greatly how to be a leader, how to be a warrior, how to be loyal to the things that God would have him be loyal to. Another couple of people that came in mind is Mordecai and Esther in the book of Esther. Esther was Mordecai's uncle's daughter. I guess that makes her his cousin. And he raised her as his own child because her parents had died. And in the Persian Empire, her name was Hadassah. She was a lovely young Jewish girl. And in that land, they named her Esther. Mordecai learned that the king was replacing his wife. She had been rebellious to him, and he was going to replace her. And they brought out all the young women of the land to see who would be the next queen. And Esther found favor with everyone who saw her, including the king. The king loved her and chose her to be his wife. But all who looked upon her, she found favor in their eyes. Mordecai sat in the king's gate and overheard two men planning to lay a trap for the king and to lay hands upon him. Mordecai went to Esther and told her about these two men. And Esther went to the king and told the king what had happened. Soon they learned of a plot from the wicked Haman, who was an Agite. He was a part of the tribe of people that God had sent Saul to destroy, every man, woman, child, and not take their possessions, destroy them. But Saul had fallen short of God's command, and God removed him from being king because of it. Haman was a type of Satan. He wanted to destroy all the Jews in the kingdom. And he made a presentation to the king to allow him to hang them all on a gallows he had built. You and I are a little like Mordecai and Esther. We have found favor in the eyes of God. God has looked upon us and allowed us to become believers in Jesus Christ and to be saved. We have favor with God. Saved people are different than unsaved people. God is on our side. We're a part of His family. We have favor with God. The famous quote in the book of Esther is when Mordecai came to her and pleaded with her to go to the king. She said, "The king has to call for me. I can't just walk into his presence." Aren't you glad you serve a God that's not like that? We're not under laws and rituals and altar presentations. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, call upon our God through Jesus Christ. The quote that Mordecai made to Esther is, "Who knows, who knoweth that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther was a little bit scared for her life in just going to the king unannounced, uncalled for. And Mordecai says, "You may have been called to the kingdom for this day, for this opportunity." And so she prayed and she asked him to have the people pray. And she went before the king with a meal she prepared and asked him to attend. And God worked the circumstance that the king found out what Haman was trying to do. And until that time, the king did not know she was Jewish. They had not announced that to the people. The church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and he is the light of the world. But most of the world is in darkness today. The darkness of sin. It is creeping like shadows throughout the land, taking over men and women in darkness. Who will tell the men and women of the world, and the boys and girls, about Christ the Savior, about deliverance through him, about the opportunity of salvation by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Who knoweth but you have come to the church for such a time as this, to be a witness to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your friend and family, to the people you meet and come in contact with? I say to you today, God has a higher purpose for your life than just getting rich or having a big house or having a big car. A witness for Christ is one of high prize for this world. You can tell the story of salvation to other people. You can tell someone how they can have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. If we go back to our text in Romans 13, we have to recognize we have a debt to pay to the world around us. God has saved us and delivered us. He's made us sons of God. He has bestowed great love upon us. Because he's loved us and saved us, we love him in return, and we love each other because God dwells in us. We should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's God's plan for his people, the plan of love. He reminds us in Romans 13, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. High time to awake out of sleep. It's time for us to leave our comfort zones and step forward to serve the Lord, to be his witness. To do that, we must cast off any works of darkness from our life. We must put on the armor of light." In Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18, it tells us about putting on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are warriors for Christ, and we have the armor to put on. The sword of the Spirit is our offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. We have the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we go forth into battle to conquer, to deliver, to win the day. Let us put on that armor. Let us step forward willing to do something for God. Let us walk honestly, not in rioting or drunkenness. The word reveling is used in explaining that term. Not in strife or envy or jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. you have a desire that you know is sinful that you battle with, then put that out of your life and change your schedule so you're not faced with the opportunities for that, where it doesn't come before you on a regular basis. Change the way you drive back and forth to work if it takes it, to avoid that temptation coming into your life. May our desires be spiritual, to do what pleases and is acceptable unto God. Our time is limited. Teach me to number my days, to know mine end and the measure of my days, to apply my heart unto wisdom. We have a new nature in Jesus Christ. It's vital that we learn to live in that nature and feed it the Word of God and spiritual things, and not live in the flesh that desires sinful things. Nature determines appetite. Cows and horses eat grass, and squirrels eat acorns. The unsaved have an appetite for sin. Our nature should be spiritual things. We should enjoy going to church, learning the Bible, witnessing to others, being in fellowship with God's people, living a balanced life for God. Nature determines environment. Fish can live in the water. Birds can live in the sky. The unsaved live in darkness, the darkness of sin. Let us live in the light and walk in the light as God is in the light. Nature determines association. Cats and birds and dogs are not normally grow up to be best buddies. Some of y'all that are pet fanatics, you get a dog and a cat and you make them eat together and live together and you make them friends and all that kind of thing. But their nature is not to be friendly to each other. Remember Tweety Bird? Sylvester the cat wanted to eat him from the first day he saw him up there in that cage. He was always trying. That was his nature. Who do you spend time with? Who is the nature that deals with your nature that you find in common? Is it the unsaved with filthy language and wicked stories and partying life? Or is it spiritual people that will help you to be a better spiritual person? Nature determines danger. Catfish can eat dead fish off the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of the river. Doesn't bother them a bit. Their nature is to eat that, just like buzzards can eat stuff on the side of the road. I read that squirrels in California are becoming carnivorous. They're eating the dead other animals. I guess they don't have enough nuts in order to keep themselves fed. Animals can survive outside. Our son Daniel brought a little old yellow kitty cat home. It was a tabby cat, yellow stripe type thing. And my wife allowed him to leave it at our house. Oh, he's going to come back and get it. Well, he can't come in the house, I said. He can live on the porch. Every time I'd walk out of the porch, he'd come over and rub up against my leg. I'd shove him out of the way. Get away from me. I don't like cats. I'd sit down in the rocking chair. He'd jump up in my lap. I'd put him down. He'd jump back up there again. I'd pet him a little bit and then put him down. Finally, he'd leave me alone, you know. And if I petted him a little bit, the next morning we'd come outside and there'd be some kind of dead animal laying on the welcome mat as a present for us, a bird, a rat, or whatever, a snake, whatever it may be that the cat caught. That cat lived on our 6 acres of property for 18 years, never came in the house to sleep at all. It had fur that was grown out in the wintertime. It was a nature for an animal to live outside and survive in the temperatures. But that's not your nature or my nature. I'm getting to where I not only have to leave the heat on 67 degrees, but I have to cover up with 2 blankets. My body's temperature is not what it used to be. I stand up here before you now with the heat on and this coat on, and I'm sweating. But as soon as I stop, I'll get a chill if I'm not careful. I don't have the warmth that I used to have from my weight and from the nature. Nature determines abilities. Eagles and hawks have vision, can see a cricket move from a quarter of a mile away in a high position. We don't have that kind of vision. Theirs is double what ours is. Owls have vision at night. They can see all night long. I had a big owl used to roost in a big pine tree on our driveway. When I used to ride the motorcycle, I'd come around that pine tree and he'd drop something on me every time I come around. A dead squirrel, a dead snake. I don't know whether the motorcycle bothered him and or whether he was offering me something. I don't have any idea. He's a big owl. But we have the vision to see the future through the Word of God, to help people to be prepared for what they're going to go through and what they're going to face. Will we study and learn and tell them? God help us to make progress in the things that matter most, the spiritual things of life, to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I promise you, if you raise them in church, living for the Lord, that they will avoid a multitude of problems they could have if they develop the freedom of their spirit to just go and come as they please and get into everything out there in the world. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I was an unsaved boy all my teen years who got into more trouble than probably 10 people know. But I thank God, when I was 24, my wife and I got saved. If we hadn't, we wouldn't still be married today. But by God's grace, we've celebrated 53 years together because we've tried to walk together, to walk with God and raise our children and do what God has told us to do. Now, we don't know how much time we got left, friends. 2024 is almost through. Tonight, we'll observe the Lord's Supper. I'll bring a short message about the Lord's Supper, and we'll observe the Lord's Supper together as a body of believers. I urge you to come back tonight at 6. We will vote on the church's budget for the year. There's one proposal on there to to buy a bus or a van, 15-passenger van, that would make all these trips you're taking so much more comfortable and economical and all that sort of thing. And when the time is right, then we may be able to get rid of some. The proposal's in the budget. Normally, our budget is the same as it's been 20 years ago. We just add a little more for the power bill that goes up, add a little more for the insurance that goes up, add a little raise for the staff of the church, and then we present it to you, and over all these years, you voted to approve it. We built this building and the one down the hall, and the one on the end of the hall, and the one down at the flat, the gymnasium. All of that because you folks have given to the Lord your tithe and offerings. And many have given special giving for building projects. Now everything we own is debt free. And we present to you a budget in very similar fashion. Bob has worked long and hard on the budget. I'm so thankful he took that from Brother Pete, who used to have to do all that. Where are you at? Back corner. Pete did all that for years and years and years. We owe him such a great debt of appreciation for all he's done. And so you'll get a budget as you leave today. If you have questions about it, we'll let you take time tonight when we gather for a minute or two to see if you have a question we can answer. We'll vote on the budget. We'll have a short message. We'll observe the Lord's Supper together. Hope you'll come back tonight. But before you go, if there's a spiritual need in your life that you need counsel or guidance, please come as the musicians play and ask the Lord to meet that need. If you need counsel, come meet me and we'll help you. Miss Nanette's coming to play. Thank you so much for being here. Let's stand together.